Hey, Med Talkers. Welcome back to Med Talks, where everything biotechnical rocks. This is your co-host, Abhinav.
And I'm your co-host, Satya.
And in today's episode, we'll be talking about a common cancer paradox and the theory surrounding this mysterious phenomenon.
Let's check it out. So this paradox is known as Peto's paradox, and this paradox accounts for the lack of correlation between body size and cancer risk. So imagine this, right? If every cell has some chance of being cancerous, then larger organisms which have more cells should have an increased risk of developing cancer, right? Well, this is in fact wrong because as Peto's paradox says, not only do larger organisms not have an increased risk of developing cancer, they actually have less of a risk of developing cancer than humans. And so there are a lot of theories surrounding this, and so Abhinav here will explain some of the most common theories.
Yeah, thanks for the introduction, Satya. As you said, this paradox is very interesting because it's counterintuitive because, as you said, bigger animals, more cells, therefore more cancerous chances, in my opinion. But there seems to be some kind of biological process or something fundamental taking place that we as humans and scientists don't quite know as of now. So there's quite a few theories going around, and I'll go in the order of popularity. So the first order,
sounds good.
The first, what's it? The theory, the first theory that explains Peto's paradox is a theory related to metabolism. So as you know, metabolism is related to all the chemical reactions taking place in the cell. So the breaking of proteins, making of proteins, making of carbohydrates, everything. So what scientists have found is that humans and like smaller mammals like rats, cats, dogs, all these mammals, they have a higher metabolic rate. Let me say it again, metabolic rate. So what that means is that they produce a high amount of energy in a short amount of time. So that's needed because we have a higher surface area to volume ratio than other animals. Basically what that means is that smaller animals need more energy to keep life sustaining.
Got it.
And bigger animals like whales, elephants, rhinos, hippos, they're bigger, but their surface area to volume ratio is smaller. So they need to sustain themselves. They need less energy turnover. So they don't need to work as hard to pump out those ATP molecules. They can afford to live at a lower cost. So what this means is that, let's say for humans, the average ATP rate, this is just a random number, but let's just say it's 100. For rats and mice, it would be around 200 because they're smaller than us. But for bigger mammals, like elephants, it would probably be around like 25 because they don't need as much energy to sustain themselves. And this
Gotcha.
Basically correlates to cancer because cancer needs a lot of energy to grow and reproduce its damaged cells. And if you don't provide it with the fundamental energy source that it needs, then it doesn't have a chance to grow. So this theory is gaining a lot of popularity in the oncology field because it is very logical and intuitive, and it makes sense with the evidence and studies that we have collected so far. So that's the main theory. And
cool.
It seems pretty intuitive, and I feel like this one could be the most accurate because it's very simple and it just follows the flow of nature, in my opinion.
Got it. So like the bigger the animal, the less energy they really need to sustain themselves because of a smaller surface area to volume ratio, right?
Yeah.
And because of that, the cancer cells don't have enough energy input to grow and divide as rapidly as they do in humans, for example.
Yeah.
I see. That's cool. Okay, so what about the other theories?
Another theory is something related to genetics. So basically, as we all know that humans have copies of genes in their cells, we have two copies, from one from our mom and one from our dad, and we have two copies of whatever gene, tumor suppressor genes, aging genes, development genes, all
right.
These genes, you have two copies, right? But for some of these bigger mammals, through evolution or some kind of process relating to that, they seem to have collected a way to make sure they have more copies of tumor suppressor genes. So in the case of humans, there's a common tumor suppressor gene called the P53 gene. We only have a couple copies of them, but elephants and like these whales and these bigger mammals have multiple copies, some even in the tens and twenties. So what this means is that the more copies you have, the less chances of those copies going wrong. Basically, the more copies you have, the less chances that all of them are going to mutate. So if we have two, there's a higher chance that both of them are going to mutate than 10 of them. So by using multiple copies, what they do is that they eliminate the mutated copies and replace them with the normal copies that they did, that were dormant all this time in their cells.
Got
So
it.
that's another theory. So basically it's like a use and replace theory. If one is gone, one is like damaged, you pull it out and you put that same gene but the fixed version in. So
Right. Okay.
and those are the two main forerunners in this theory competition. But the last one is also has some scientific value and logic to it, but it could be a little far-fetched for some people. So the last theory is that since these animals are very big, let's say they do form cancer. So they don't have anything special, but they're just like every other mammal and they form cancer. And once the cancer is growing, it has to grow to a larger extent for the body to notice because they're bigger animals, right?
Okay.
And if a tumor that is in the human doesn't necessarily affect the same in the same way as it does in an elephant, because the elephant is bigger, it needs more of a bigger tumor for it to see any effect in the body, right? So once a tumor is growing to an extent, and once it's growing bigger and bigger, what happens is that cancer itself is not genetically stable. So what that means is that cancer, in order for cancer to occur, there has to be a lot of mutations that happen. But once those mutations happen, the cancer cells don't have any way to limit other mutations. So once they keep dividing, they keep acquiring new mutations, which are either good for them or bad for them. So they have no way of controlling this scenario. So what happens is that after the tumor grows past a certain threshold, the cancers form like mini species of cancer, like they form different cancers, if that makes sense.
So, like the cancers will form cancers within themselves because the original cancer was so big that now it can form its own cancers.
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
Okay,
Like
okay.
you could think of this like from history class, civil war or revolutions within countries, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, gotcha.
Like a change in ideas in history would be like a change in genetics and cells. And these clash of genetics will eventually wipe out the tumor. That's the theory. So just like species and populations want to promote themselves, scientists have found that cancer is similar on that level because it also wants to promote the same genetic information throughout the body. So it doesn't like other, what I'm trying to say is that it wants to promote itself the most compared to other organs or tissues. And once it
Gotcha.
has a competitor that is equally powerful and equally unstable, what happens is that scientists predict that they go into like all-out warfare and like they try to push each other out of their way and like secrete some kind of proteins that damage the other one, the other side. And like it's just basically all-out warfare in there.
Gotcha. Okay, that's cool.
And then what happens is that what scientists believe is that just like how the as we learned in history class, the American government system has like checks and balances. What happens is that these cancers come to a level where they check each other off. Like one can't grow too powerful than the other. So the tumor is halted, the growth of the tumor is halted, but the internal cancers keep competing. So that's what scientists say is another theory. So it's like a balance of power, basically.
That's cool. Okay. So, also, I had a question while you were talking about your second theory, the second most common one. So, you know how you said, like, these bigger animals would have developed some genetics for the tumor suppressor genes that allow them to have, like, a use and replace sort of mechanism, right? So do you think that these large animals, if this theory is true, do you think that these large animals had to adapt and develop these genetics over time? Because otherwise, the risk of cancer would be so high that they would possibly face extinction?
That's a good idea, actually. I didn't think about it like that. You're saying that the fact that they do, like, if it was proven that they have multiple genes, tumor suppressor genes, you're saying that if this is true, this could be caused by the fact that there were some ecological pressures that forced them to extinction. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise they would go extinct. And so if they want to survive, they have to evolve these genes, kind of.
That makes sense. So it's some, yeah. It's actually pretty interesting to think about. It's sort of like an evolutionary adaptation. Like when you think of evolution, you think about whales going out and sorry, not whales. You think about fish going onto land
Right,
and
yeah.
developing legs, reptiles, mammals, all that stuff, but you don't really think about it on the genetic level. I think that's a good theory, like a good support evidence for this theory. That goes into the very intricate field of like genetic evolution. So I'm not that experienced in that field, but that could be a promising idea there.
Yeah, me neither, but it was just something that popped up. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool actually.
Yeah, so about these, like, out of these three theories, which one would you say was your, like, favorite one, or which one do you agree with the most?
I mean, both of those questions get different answers. My favorite one is the all-out warfare one. It's just fun to think about. Like, it's this all-out warfare in your
Yeah, it
body.
sounds fun. Yeah, like something you don't expect, right?
Something you don't expect. Like, that was pretty cool. Like you have, basically, it's the enemy of your enemy is your friend kind of thing. And
Yeah.
when it's just funny to think about, like, your body is a battlefield for these two powerful biological forces, and you're just chilling there and giving them their battlefield, and that seems pretty interesting. But the biologically accurate one, in my opinion, is the first theory about metabolism, because I didn't explain this properly before, but bigger animals, they have the reason why they have a smaller surface area to volume ratio is because they're bigger. So volume is cubed, right? It's like size cubed, and surface area is
Yeah.
size squared, right? So as you get bigger and bigger, volume increases by a cube, like the cube function, and surface area increases by the square function. So
Exactly.
after a point, what happens is that the heat that comes out of a mammal, like a warm-blooded mammal, what happens is that there's so much heat in the body that the body doesn't need to worry about losing any energy. So let's say for a rat, it's very small and there's a lot of room for it to lose heat, or in another sense, energy. So it has to keep producing energy. And once you get bigger and bigger, the internal production centers get bigger and bigger, but the source of heat loss gets smaller and smaller, if that makes sense.
I see. Yeah, okay.
Like, I don't know if that made sense properly, but we
No,
all
I
heard
think I
about,
get it. Yeah.
like we all heard about the surface area to volume ratio of cells. It's just like that, but it's relating to animals and their
Right. Like
proportions.
volume is cubed, so it grows much faster than square what surface area because it's squared. So the larger size you are, the more rapidly volume grows as opposed to surface area, right? Okay, yeah, I see. That's
And what
cool.
do you think about these theories? Like, I've been talking about these theories. What do you think is your favorite and
I
about
think
this
my
paradox?
favorite has to be the third one as well, the cancer warfare. I think it's just something unexpected. Like it's kind of cool to think about, if this theory was true, it's like two cancers battling it out inside your body. It's kind of interesting to think about. You don't really expect that when you talk about, science or biology. But I think, again, the most accurate one, I think, would actually be the first one still, because I understand that part about surface area to volume ratio. I understand that volume grows much more rapidly than surface area. So the larger you are, the less your surface area to volume ratio is. And by definition, that means, like, you need less energy to sustain yourself. So you're inputting less energy into your cancer cells.
You're not giving them as much energy to grow.
Exactly, yeah. And so actually one question I had with that is if you need less energy to survive since you're a larger organism, and you're, inputting less energy for cancer cells to use to grow and
Wait,
divide.
Satya, one correction. You, as a bigger animal, you need more energy to survive, but energy production rate is less. That's what
Oh
I'm
yeah,
trying.
sorry, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. You need more energy to survive, but your energy production rate is less because as your surface area to volume ratio is much lower than the smaller organisms. So because of this, you're giving cancer less energy to grow and divide, basically. And so does that also mean that you are giving less energy to your tumor suppressor genes to express themselves in your cells?
I mean, yes and no at the same time, because the cells of a let's take an elephant for example. The cells of an elephant are already adapted since it's born to divide and grow at that specific rate. And once you, let's say, introduce a cancer to this and the metabolism, the metabolic rate doesn't change since a cancer is introduced. So the normal cells will be normal completely. And although they may be slower, it's sufficient because the cancer cells are affected by the same amount. So
Okay.
you decrease both by the same amount. So basically that leaves the
It kind of
difference.
evens out, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So it's not favoring the good cells or the cancer cells in any way. It's affecting both in the positive or in the same amount negative way.
I see, got it.
And what do you think about this paradox? Like, do you think it could relate to how bigger animals live longer? Like, we've seen how, especially whales, live past 150 years or 120 years, and how smaller mammals live only up to like 5 or 10 years. Do you think that relates to this issue here?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think one of the leading causes of death is cancer, right, for humans. And so seeing these larger organisms live longer, I think it definitely has something to do with the fact that they don't develop cancer as easily. I mean, for whales, for example, I don't think they have much of a risk of developing cancer at all because of how large they are. And so, yeah, I think definitely, yeah, because of this paradox, I think we can, I don't know, like, get some sort of correlation between, larger animals and less of a risk of cancer, and that could also relate to the reason why larger animals live longer.
True. And while you're talking about that, I got another support like idea for theory number two about like multiple gene copies. So since the fact that larger animals live longer and aging occurs because telomeres get like chopped off at the end, right? And telomerase doesn't work properly. And if you have multiple copies, that means that once one telomere or once one gene is like deteriorated, you
You
have
could
another
replace
gene.
it.
Yeah, you have another
Yeah,
gene that can
okay.
replace it. So the fact that, so basically this theory number two is like a, it's like a silver bullet for all diseases for bigger animals. Like the more copies you have, the less chances you have of developing any sort of disease, genetic disease for that.
Wow, that's cool to think about.
Like aging, any
Yeah.
neurological disease, cancer, blood disorders, all anything genetics,
Yeah,
like.
if that was true, that would also explain why it seems like larger organisms age slower. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's cool.
But this also ties into the fact that since larger animals, like they have less of a metabolic rate, that means their cells also reproduce slower, right? So that could also play in here. So it could be a merge of these theories. You never know. Like,
Yeah, actually, I wonder if the opposite is true as well. Like, if smaller organisms just have less copies of a gene or something, and that maybe that's the reason why really small organisms die a lot faster. Like, for example, take the fruit fly, right? Like, if this theory was true and it worked in the opposite direction as well, then that would mean that the fruit fly doesn't nearly have enough copies to use the use and replace mechanism. And so the lifespan of a fruit fly is really small. So maybe that might be one reason if that theory is true.
Yeah, that could be, but here I think we're delving into more of a R selected case selection issue.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's an insect, so that could be a different field. So, I mean, this is per pertaining to mammals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know. Do insects get cancer? I guess that's a
I have
question
no
for
clue.
another.
Yeah, that's a
That's a
question for
question for
another. Yep.
time. Okay. I think that's it for me. Do you have any questions about this
Yeah,
paradox?
no, not at all. I think that's it from me as well. So, yeah, you want to wrap it up here?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, yeah. Thank you guys for listening in to this episode. We tried to make it a little bit shorter because this was more of a smaller topic. So yeah, this was Peto's paradox on why there's a correlation between the lack of body size, or yeah, lack of body size and increased risk of cancer. So the bigger you are, the less of a risk you have of getting cancer. And that was Peto's paradox. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode and stay tuned for more. We'll see you next time at Talkers.